Well, here we are. This is Palm Sunday, and we are entering into what has been called the Holy Week, leading up to Resurrection Sunday, Easter. But Palm Sunday is when Jesus entered into Jerusalem with great celebration, and it would have looked like everything was going just so for Jesus and his followers. I am sure that some of the disciples were thinking, finally, we're going to get to kick Rome out of Israel. Jesus is going to rise up and take his place, and things are going to be great. Because even after spending 3 years with Jesus, they still did not truly and fully understand why Jesus had come and what he was all about. And in a few short days, just a few short days, things are going to go horribly wrong in their eyes, in the eyes of the disciples. And it was horrible, but it was God's will. And that was full of purpose. And I so hope you can come out to one of our Good Friday services. Candidly, it is one of my favorite services in the entire year, as it causes us to really focus in on what Jesus did for us on the cross, what our Heavenly Father sent Jesus to accomplish for us. So today is not a Palm Sunday message, but it is a precursor to what the Lord of life is capable of in conjunction with the Heavenly Father, with our Heavenly Father. So let's open up in prayer. We're going to head into it for today. Father God, I thank you for the worship that's taking place here. Lord, I thank you for your presence here. And Lord Jesus, I know that when your word is preached, there's a battle going on. And Lord Jesus, this morning, as I come before you, I just ask, would you forgive me my sins? Cleanse me, fill me up, Holy Spirit. Get me out of the way. And Lord Jesus, I want to come in your name and your power and your authority. I want to pray against distractions this morning, that my friends might be able to hear what you want to say to them today, that they'd be able to absorb everything, Lord, that their ears be open, their hearts be open, their minds hear from you today, Lord Holy Spirit. God, just do a mighty work here today. I thank you for what you have been accomplishing. Lord, I thank you for the great things you are going to do. Thank you in advance of them. Lord Jesus, please just continue to be here with us today. Amen. Well, the past 2 weeks, we have covered a lot of ground in John 11. As Jesus made his way to Bethany with timing that seemed to be all bad, because his good friend Lazarus had gotten sick. Jesus took his sweet time getting to him, and he had been dead for 4 days when he finally arrived. And you might remember last week, Jesus had this amazing conversation with Martha. And we got to hear and see the amazing trust, the incredible faith that Martha had in Jesus that seemed to run contrary to his lack of action in saving her brother from death. And in this conversation that Jesus has with Martha, he says one of the most powerful I am statements. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And she does. Martha affirms her faith in Jesus. And I so hope it got burned into your memories last week that she had that trust, she had that faith because of the relationship that she had with Jesus, the history she had built with him. Because we all come to such crossroads in our own lives as Christians. When Jesus is not doing what we want, when Jesus is not doing what we think is best, and his timing is not, it's not something we're actually enjoying, and we think he's way off. And when those things happen, it will be the relationship that we have with him that will keep us from wandering off the path that he has for us. It will be our knowing that we can trust his heart when we cannot see his hand. And that only comes through that relationship we can have with him, that we would choose to live a life of obedience. And Martha was not the only one who had questions about Jesus' timing. Her sister Mary did as well. And pretty much everyone who knew the situation. I mean, even the disciples. I'm sure they were confused by Jesus. Okay, they were often confused by Jesus. Numerous times. But they couldn't comprehend what he was accomplishing or trying to accomplish. I mean, because Jesus had said to them just days earlier when they first heard that Lazarus was sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." So if I'm one of the disciples, I might be thinking, oh, Jesus missed this one. He missed it because Lazarus, he did die. He's dead. He said it wouldn't end in death. And Lazarus died. But he said it wouldn't end in death. He never said he wouldn't die. But who would make that leap? Come on. I mean, when something dies, it stays dead, right? So last week, we ended with Mary weeping at Jesus' feet and her entourage of mourners all expressing their grief. John 11:33. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved. And you might remember we looked at that Greek word that translated deeply moved and found out that Jesus was angry and outraged, not at a person, but at death itself. He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. And Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" And there's the question again. Why did Jesus not save Lazarus? Verse 38. Jesus, once more, deeply moved. This is the same Greek word used in verse 33 to describe horses as they snort as they go to war or in a heat of a race. When it comes to people, it's used to depict anger, outrage, and fury, to snort with anger. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time, there's a bad odor, for he's been there 4 days. Okay, let me just point out, there's all kinds of acts of faith going on here. Because to roll a stone away as a Jewish man was to potentially make yourself unclean. And that is something no one would be eager to do, but they moved the stone. Now, most likely, this would have been a round-cut stone as at the tomb, because this tomb would have been used many times over. In that day, when a person died, they would take the body and they would wrap it with strips of fabric. And the fabric would have been filled with burial spices so that in the short term, the body would not give off a bad odor. The head was likewise covered, jaw tied shut, and the face covered. A body would then be placed in one of these tombs for a good length of time and then reopened when only the bones remained, to be moved to a family tomb, taking up far less space. Now, Martha, and notice she is described as the sister of the dead man, but she is really concerned about opening the tomb after 4 days. Because 4 days is too long. I mean, the spices used in the cloth would have been overpowered by the smell of rotting flesh. and that smell would have been nasty. Anyone ever come home from a trip, found that your refrigerator got turned off at some point? And you walk in the front door and you know something's wrong right away? It just smells bad. Now, I worked for my dad as a young man, and at that point my dad had a company that we did a lot of plaza maintenance. And there were a lot of restaurants in these plazas. And there were times in the heat of the summer when one such fish restaurant really did not want to carry their garbage to the dumpster where it was supposed to go. And there would be bags out the back of their restaurant for those of us on plaza maintenance, get the boss's son to do it, you know. And I would have to move these things. Let me tell you, it was overpowering how bad it smelt. And the one thing you did not want to have happen was that bag rip open. Let me tell you. This was a concern for Martha. She did not want the last thing for her to think of with her brother was the horrible smell coming from his dead body. And the 4 days gets mentioned here again. And it is significant. There was a well-known Jewish belief, and this is not biblical, but this is in the area of Jewish superstition. It's confirmed from 200 AD that they thought that the soul of a dead person hung around for 3 days, hoping to re-enter the body. But once decay had set in, that soul would leave. Again, this is not biblical, it's Jewish superstition. But this could be, well, one of the reasons for the 4 days. And John wants us to know that this was not a resuscitation. Lazarus did not, he wasn't really dead. No. He was dead. I mean, he was decomposing. He was dead. And Jesus was once again flying in the face of what was seen as proper by opening up this tomb. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." Now Jesus has already spoken with the Father. He has spent time in prayer and is coming to this miracle fully prepared. This is not some last-ditched effort to try to save his friend. This is an act the Father has led Jesus to. Jesus and the Father, they work in harmony together. John 5:19 says Jesus only does what he sees the Father doing. And he does not call God our Father. He calls him Father. Father. Speaking to the intimacy he shares with him. And I mention this to once again to try to hit home just how relational our Lord is and the importance of knowing him. And Jesus is praying this all out loud as testimony to God and for the benefit of his followers that they might learn. And all those watching this take place, that they would know Jesus is from God. But the moment has come. The Lord of life is about to go toe-to-toe with death. And Jesus goes on to say, "I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" This was no whisper. Let me tell you, this is Jesus calling out in raw authority that belongs to the Son of God, the Lord of life. And can you just imagine? Can you imagine right after Jesus calls out to Lazarus? The tension, the wonder, what's going to happen? And honestly, I think there's kind of a second miracle that takes place here. That Lazarus could make it to the opening, bound like he was. There are estimates that the grave clothes he was in could have been 100 pounds or more. I just can't help thinking what it might have looked like. I mean, what was he walking or was he hopping to get out? Because he was covered in these things. He was encased in this cloth and the spice. And for sure, he would have followed the sound of Jesus' voice and the light from the opening. Because his head was fully covered. But when he appeared in the opening, I mean, when he appeared, can you imagine the gasps? The wonder? I mean, they all knew he was dead. The people who had wrapped him in the grave clothes were there. His friends, his family, they knew he had been dead. And they're in awe. Okay, because death does not lose a fight. And what death takes, it does not give back. And yet, there he is. There he is. The dead man came out. His hands, his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Now the place must have gone crazy. I mean, he was dead. And now Lazarus was restored to life in all ways. Sickness is gone. Health in his body. Strength in his bones. He is restored. If there is any kind of decomposition that was happening, there's no sign of it anymore. Because the Lord of life does good work and has power over death itself. You know, I heard of one country preacher who said it was a good thing he called Lazarus by name. Because if he hadn't, every dead person with an earshot would have been up and coming out of their tombs, of their graves. Jesus had a friend to save. And he was willing to go to great lengths to save him. And Jesus continues to do just that today. And I know this is Palm Sunday. And we might be tempted to think that this is a foreshadowing of Jesus' own resurrection. But it's not. It's not. This isn't about Jesus. This is about us. This is about us. Because back in the garden, Adam was told, and Eve would have known, what God said. You know, that they were not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Or that they would surely die. And Adam and Eve chose disobedience. They chose sin. And they did not die. Not right away. But in that moment, suffering and decay entered this world. The process that leads to physical death, the process that caused spiritual death, happened. Sin is like a slow acting poison on us physically. And the more sin is acted on, the more decay, the more disorder one adds to their life. And the end result is death. Paul tells us in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. It's like every time we sin, we're getting wrapped in our grave clothes, little by little, piece by piece, wrapped in our grave clothes, weighed down, slowing us down, leading us down a path to our tomb, to our death. We live in a fallen world because sin has affected everything and everyone. Everything bad, all the disorder, all depravity can trace its path back to sin entering this world in the garden. And what I'm trying to help you understand this morning is sin is more than some border or dividing line between what is right and what is wrong. Sin is a matter of life and death. And as we are starting the Holy Week, and we're going to remember on Friday what Jesus did for us. Hear this. Jesus did not die to make bad people good. He died. He gave his life so dead people might live. That's why he did it. Jesus brings dead people to life. And Lazarus is a prime example. And we were all of us at one point, we were spiritually dead. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all means all. Every one of us, myself, all of us. And we all need to accept what Jesus provided for us on the cross. You know, I read the nasty side of Romans 6:23. Let me read the whole verse now. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is a penalty for sin that goes beyond this life. And it must be paid. And you could pay it yourself, but that is an eternity separated from God. Or let me put it another way. We can never make things right for ourselves before a holy God. We can't do it. So our Heavenly Father sent his Son Jesus to pay our debt of sin. And on Friday, we're going to remember what Jesus did for us in going to the cross, taking all of our sin on himself. Jesus, who was fully man and fully God, paid the price for you and you and me. The Lord of life gave his life that you might live. And there is forgiveness for our sin in Jesus. But we need to ask for it and receive that forgiveness. We need to ask and receive that gift of eternal life. And maybe today you kind of feel like Lazarus. You're all wrapped up in sin. And it's messing you over. It's slowing you down. And it might not even be a stretch to say that some of you feel like you're dying. And today, you hear Jesus calling your name. He's calling your name. The Lord of life is calling you. How do you receive this? You ask for it. You ask to be forgiven of all your sins. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous, that's Jesus, for the unrighteous, that's us, to bring us to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. We ask to be forgiven. And then you take Jesus as Lord of your life. It's kind of like you're going through life and you're sitting on the throne of your life. You're calling the shots. You're trying to set a good direction for your life. And you say, no, I'm done. Jesus, please forgive me. And can you just take my life? I want you on the throne. I want you calling the shots. I want you to guide and direct and control my life from this point on. On this side of eternity and beyond it. Jesus, be Lord. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. And doing life with Jesus as Lord is good. It is so very good. It's not easy. In fact, there are times it seems impossibly hard. But Jesus is with you every step of the way. And it is good to have him and be in relationship with him. It is good. And this morning, I want to pray. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, if you've never crossed from death to life, Maybe today's the day because you hear Jesus calling you. That this might be the day that you choose to accept the forgiveness he provided on the cross and to receive life and ask him to be Lord of your life. And some of you here this morning, maybe you've already done that, but my goodness, sin has been wrapping you up. Maybe today's the day you get free once again and you go to Jesus and say, forgive me for all the junk I've been involved in. In fact, I pushed you off the seat of the throne of my life, Jesus. I need you to get back on. I need you to get back on. I need you to guide and direct me because I've just been leading myself into the ditch again and again and again. I don't want to be there anymore. I want to go on with the life that you have for me. But today, if you have never come to that place where you've accepted Jesus as Lord, I just want to say a prayer. And you can repeat this in your mind. God can hear your thoughts. And you're not praying this to me. You're talking to God. So I'm just going to ask if everyone could please just bow your heads. And I'm going to lead us through this prayer. And if you're here this morning and you want to start that relationship with God today, with Jesus, you can do it. Let me lead you in a prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to earth. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for going to the cross for me. Thank you for paying the debt of my sin. Jesus, I want to receive that forgiveness you provided. Jesus, I want to ask you to be Lord of my life. Jesus, I want to receive your gift of life eternal. Jesus, please walk with me every day from now on. I want to follow you and live the life you have for me. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer this morning, welcome to the family of God. We're a pretty nice family. We're a little dysfunctional, but we're a pretty good family. And before you leave here this morning, would you tell someone about your decision? Maybe the friend who has invited you out, who has been coming with you. Maybe it can be one of our staff members. You can even tell me. But tell someone before you go today that you have made that choice in your life. Now, let me try to finish off a few more verses in John 11. And I'm going to read a big chunk of scripture to you. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did put their faith in him. They saw it and they believed. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin, the religious leadership. What are we accomplishing, they asked. Here is this man performing miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And then the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. Then one of them, named Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, spoke up. You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it's better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish. He did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation. But not only for the nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. So from that day on, they plotted to take his life. Therefore, Jesus no longer moved about publicly among the Jews. Instead, he withdrew to a region near the desert, to a village called Ephraim, where he stayed with his disciples. Now, there's a lot going on in that passage that we don't have time to get into today. I just want to point out a few things. Apparently, raising someone from the dead is not enough to convince some people of the truth of who Jesus is. Those who saw it with their own eyes are reporting to the religious leadership. And the religious leadership is so worried about their own agenda, they cannot grasp that Messiah is truly in their midst. And as far as Jesus dying for the nation, that is true and that is right. But not how they are perceiving it. They see Jesus' death as a way to preserve their leadership and the power they have under Rome. And this in my mind, this is a travesty. As they literally have God in their midst and they're missing it. And that travesty is happening still today, all over the place. Jesus is always active through the Holy Spirit. He is calling women and men and youth and children to himself. He is calling them to lead them out of death and into life. And life everlasting. Please don't miss this. Jesus is calling us to life. My friends, I want you to so understand that God did not create you for time. He didn't. He created you for eternity. For eternity. He does not want anyone to perish. And he doesn't want anyone to live a life that is meaningless. We get so caught up at times chasing after sin as it overpromises and underdelivers that we miss the life God has called us to. And I know for every one of us, there are going to be times God is not doing what you want because he's God and you're not. And those are difficult times. Those are the times we have got to lean back on our relationship that we have built. And when you have built a relationship where you have put him in the lordship place in your life, when you have walked with him, you come to know the Lord of life. He is there in the good times. He's there in the hard times. And he is there when there are storms of life that are threatening to wipe you out. And you feel his strength. And you walk with him. And you choose him. You choose life. I don't want you to miss out. Because we don't get multiple lives. Like the father of lies tries to pump on people. We have one, we have our one and only life on this side of eternity. And it's here, it's now that we get to say, Lord, I trust you. It won't be hard to trust him on the other side of eternity. We're going to see it all, but it's here. It's here that our faith, our trust so pleases him. And oh my goodness, he leads us to the life we've always wanted, and away from the sin that is just going to mess us over. Follow him. When you're having struggles and you don't understand, trust his heart, and that is so much easier to do when you know him. So in the good times, walk with him. Spend time with him. Build that relationship with him. Because you have a heavenly Father who loves you so much, he sent his Son to take the debt that you owe. That's our Father God. And that is Jesus, who is our Savior. Who in that garden asked for the cup to be passed from him, but he said, no, Lord, your will be done, not mine. He was willing to go through it for you, and for me, and for all of us. Choose life. Choose Jesus. Christian man, Christian woman, Christian youth, choose him. Not all the other junk that comes at us on a daily basis. Choose him and walk with him and obey him and watch what he does with your life. Because it will be good like you can't imagine. It will be hard, but it will be so good. And on the other side, because we all are going to pass from this side of eternity to the other one day. I don't know what drives me in my life. I just want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done. And I tell you right now, he wants to say that to every one of us. Well done. Let me pray for us. Father, Lord, I pray, Jesus, that you would give all of us wisdom to see the lies of the evil one that he throws at us. And Lord, that we would build our relationship with you. We would spend the time we need to spend with you. Oh, Lord, we would know you. Jesus, you are the way. You are the truth. And you are the life. Lord, I pray that everyone here this morning would be able to come back on Friday as we remember, Jesus, what you did for us. And then next Sunday, as we head into Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, and remember, you truly are the Lord of life. Father, thank you for your love that we get to live in. I pray these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen.